that he's just another creative thing that is exalted. Though he is appointed as Son of God and so on and so forth, but this is an eternal appointment. You know, and if it's hard for people to understand, well, wait a second, if he's proceeds forth from God, if he is, you know, a product of God, like the Word of God, how is it that he doesn't have a beginning? And it's just like, well, what about God? Why, how is it that the Father doesn't have a beginning? These things begin to stretch our ability to really think properly when it comes to things that are eternal. Our minds are finite, and we have, I certainly do, have a great difficulty understanding the infinite. Like, what would the infinite feel like? Especially going backwards. Because I definitely remember the beginning of me. Or at least I remember as a young boy looking back into the darkness where I was not. You know, thinking about what was before I was born. And then I saw the blackness, clearly. Without thought. There was no thought there. There was nothing. I saw the nothing I came from, and I remember it frightened me. And I do not want to go back to nothing. That's why we give heed to this word. So according to this, he is priest of the Most High God. That's how he is described in Genesis. He met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Melchizedek, Melchi, king, Zedek, or Zadok, means just or righteous. Salem, peace. You know, again, you know, like place names also sometimes have a, and also people names also have a signification. So he abides a priest continually. He does the office of priest for God for all time, from eternity past to eternity future. And what is a priest's office? Because what does a priest do? You know, I mean, yeah, the Old Testament, they did sacrifices. Melchizedek wasn't that kind of a priest. A priest is one who what? What did he say in the previous, in chapter like 4 or 5? For every priest taken from among men is ordained for men and things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. But that's the priest of, you know, that is, every priest taken from among men, ordained for men. He was a priest on a different order. Not to continually offer sacrifices for sins, but rather as an intercessor. And yeah, we'll let it be described. I just get ahead of myself and I start getting excited about what that role is. What is that continuous priesthood that is superior to all others? Verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. For verily, and that's what tithe means. It means a tenth. Abraham gave Melchizedek a tithe. He gave away a tenth of what he had. Did God need the tenth? No, but it's not so much as what God needs. It's what the person needs. The person who gives. Like, I don't give so much because God needs something from me. It's because I need to be a cheerful giver. God gives us all kinds of things and blesses us with all kinds of blessings. And he has seen fit that it is blessed to bless others. And it is good for us to exercise ourselves in that exercise. as we read in 2 Corinthians, you know, there were several chapters in there about giving. And God wants to, that is a spiritual gift, to be able to give to those who need it. Or just to give merely for the purpose of honor, to honor someone. Abraham gave the tenth to honor the Most High God for the victory. You know, you're sacrificing a portion of what you've earned for his sake. And so, we also, and you know, I don't believe in the Old Testament tithe, per se. You know, Jesus said his standard of giving was like this: hey, I sell all you have and give it to the poor and follow me. Now, if you have a family, I'll say right now, you can't do that, because you cannot, if you neglect your family, you are worse than an infidel. You cannot neglect your family and say, oh, I've dedicated all these things to God. I have nothing left for my family. Aren't I wonderful? God is not pleased. Verse 5. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of priesthood, have a commandment to take the tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. You know, they take tithes of their brethren, though they're all descended from Abraham, but they have a law that they are allowed to take tithes. They have a commandment that says, you know, pay all your tithes to the Levites. It's sort of like this, it's basically the tax in ancient Israel. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. This is a key verse in really identifying Melchizedek as Christ. I say that because there was some doubt in my mind that someone had put in my mind that Melchizedek was Christ. But now that I come back to Hebrews chapter 7, I think there is no doubt. And I don't know how you can go about it any other way. In fact, I should change on my website my study on the nature of God. He whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham. Whose descent? Melchizedek didn't have any descent. No. The pre-incarnate Christ had no descent. But Jesus, son of Mary, had a descent.